Fucking white people whining about shit. Whining about shit. Whining about fucking white people whining about shit. Whining about shit. Whining about fucking white people whining about shit. Whining about shit. Whining about fucking white people whining about shit. Whining about shit. Fucking white people whining about shit. Whining about shit. Fucking white people whining about shit.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Okay, so I have to pick your brain here because podcasters are listening. So tell me, what are podcasters not doing that they should be doing to increase the size of their audience?
I think a lot of it is we're so into social and Twitter and Facebook, and you should be doing that. And we get hung up on the technology of things, and we're really focused on the microphones and things like that. And I think my favorite quote on this is from Steve Martin. He did a master class, and he said, so many people are trying to get a manager, or they're trying to get, more bookings and things like that. And he goes, and nobody's saying, how do I get good? And I think sometimes what would really benefit people is if you can get your target audience to give you honest, constructive feedback, I think that would just really benefit everybody's show. Because we all just kind of put it out there and hope that it resonates. And one of my favorite things is I'm going to be traveling next week, and when I have somebody come up to me and say, hey, I listen to your show, the first thing I say is, what do you like about it? And then I say, pretend I'm not here and talk about it and tell me what you wish I would do differently. And that's really it. It's always about honing your craft. And I think we all care about our content, but I think sometimes we could just go a little extra mile to get some honest feedback from people and quit worrying so much about the tech and the new and noteworthy and the reviews and all that stuff. Because if your content's good, you want to inspire your audience to share it, and that's going to happen when you create just wow content.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you've just heard a clip of Alexander Loren, podcasting coach, asking one of his guests for a tip on podcasting. And I feel it's only fair if I'm using that clip to at least give credit to who put it out there. I mentioned maybe in a podcast, one or two episodes ago, maybe in not such nice terms, I don't know, that I had connected with him. He was asking for guests for his show, and after listening to a few of his shows, I came to the conclusion I am not the kind of guest he wants. And since he hasn't contacted me since listening to my show, I assume he came to the same conclusion. But anyway, I don't think I could use a clip without seeing something about Alexander Loren. There's a nice picture of him with sort of a goatee, big mustache goatee, or that strip down the middle, and a fedora of sorts, looking very professional. He has written a book, The Book on Podcasting. And so I'm just on his homepage now, and I'm doing this in all seriousness. I see he's got, it's very professionally done. Like, this guy has gone into this full-time and is clearly must be making a living as a podcaster and as a podcasting coach in particular. In fact, what it says here, I'm on the blog, I guess, podcaster, about the podcast life coach. Alexander Loren is that's Laurin, is the world's first authentic certified podcaster's coach, and the author of The Book on Podcasting, An Insider's Guide to Recording Success. Now, I haven't asked him about that, and maybe I should have him as a guest on one of my shows. That might make more sense than I could ask the questions, because he does a thing at the end of his show, a quick sort of, he draws a topic out of a hat, and then the guests have to banter back and forth with it. And then there's something else, a speedy thing. And there are things that, to me, I'm just too structured. I don't fit in those boxes. I just can't play by rules of any kind. And so that's why, maybe why I'm going on about this, because he represents something almost the opposite of what I do in podcasting, and yet he's successful, and clearly by his terms, anyway, frames of reference, I'm not at all. I mean, I'm just continue to slide down after 13 years. Anyway, he does group coaching, there's coaching FAQs. Let's look at that page now. Coaching FAQs. BB, what is it about, and so on. It's taking me a minute to load because he's got a lot of information, a lot of visuals on the page. So, Alexander, this is, if you ever hear this, I'll send you a link and say at least I talked about you on my show, if nothing else. Damn it, I can't get that page. About me, Alexander Loren is at the forefront of life transformation within the podcast world. He's the world's first authentic certified podcaster's coach. That's all caps, and I don't know where this certification came from. He didn't mention that. An International Coaching Federation member. So that's coaching, maybe that's separate from podcasting. He delivers inspiration and life transformation strategies. Wow. And demonstrates the power of podcasting as a tool for success. In addition to life coaching, he helps small businesses implement successful marketing and authority building strategies. Authority building strategies, okay. Alexander is a host of the Podcaster's Happy Life and is a founder of the Business Podcast Network. Whoa. Outside one-on-one coaching and consulting, he's available for private or public speaking engagements. Okay, and then it goes on from there. Wow. Podcast success coaching, the ideal life, career, and podcast plan. Through a co-creative coaching relationship, my clients achieve their goals, dreams, and desires. God, who wouldn't want that? Coaching saves them time and money, increases productivity, and improves self-confidence. Well, that's something I sure need. And I see a nice logo for the International Coach Federation. I've coined the term podcast success coaching as part of my mission. There are three aspects to this coaching, so I think it's best to talk about each individually. Okay, so I'm not going to go into, I'm not going to read everything. You can go to the site. Just Google Alexander Loren. Life coaching, career coaching, and podcast coaching. Let's zero in on that one. Podcast success coaching is a goal-oriented and life transformation program that consists of helping podcasters. I like to work with both beginners and pros. Well, you know, I got a lot of friends who are podcasters who may, you know, benefit from some of these services. I don't know what he charges, but that's another reason I'm putting this out there. People are just getting their feet wet, need one type of guidance. Those who have been podcasting for a while but have stagnated, yeah, need a different type. My coaching isn't just focused on technical aspects of podcasting. Instead, I like to dig into deeper issues that affect podcasting. Podcasting is a major component to our lives, that's for sure. You may consider it as equally important as your career, or perhaps you may want it to be a career. Podcasters may be holding themselves back for a variety of reasons, including fear of rejection, yeah, over-analysis, uh-huh, perfectionism, uh-huh, this guy knows his stuff, there's no argument there, or lack of time management know-how. My coaching tips help them in several ways. Launch or greater consistency, maybe it means for greater consistency. Strategies for analysis, paralysis, ooh. Overcome the fear of rejection, time management and planning, think positively, adopt a successful mindset. Oh my God, he's got a lot here. So, you know, look at the life transition part. Self-help, forming new relationships, reinventing oneself, being positive, accessing inner creativity. Okay, here's a price list then. Podcast Success Program, $999, 12 coaching sessions over 3 months. The 28-day Jumpstart Program, $399 for 4 weekly coaching sessions. A la carte when you need it, $249, 2 sessions for quick results. Would anybody really benefit from 2 sessions? I think if you're going to go in this, you may as well go big. Podcasting group coaching, $200 evening or daytime options. Your why, your listener, time management, relationships, podcasting process, and so on. Lots here, and then very well set up. Man, this guy has done it professionally. This guy clearly knows business. Schedule a complimentary session. Uh-huh. That might be good. And there's open dates here. Complimentary coaching session with the podcaster's coach. Having a great podcast requires having a commitment to yourself and improving your life. Let's look at creating the ideal life and podcast plan. This 60-minute call. How could that be free? will focus on you, your goals, dreams, and desires. This is not a technical consulting call. Please provide email address, Skype ID. Okay. And then a whole calendar you can book from. My God, this guy has covered everything. So hats off to Lauren. Here's the book on podcasting. Maybe we should look at that. What would that? Because I've got two books at home. In fact, I collect them. I almost feel, you know, it's one of the things I was going to do, and this is a bit cheap of me, but I was thinking if I was a guest on his podcast, I was going to ask for a free book, but that's probably pushing it. My intention for the book on podcasting, An Insider's Guide to Recording Successfully, was to focus on one core idea. Starting and growing your own podcast can help you succeed in all areas of your life. Now, there you go. You see, because sometimes I used to say that my podcast made me a better teacher and certainly made me a lot of friends. So I think he's barking up the right tree. It's on Amazon. I wonder how much it is. Only four? Are you kidding? $4.95? Well, I mean, he could afford to give it away, but I mean, I could afford to buy it, too. That's right on Amazon. Oh, my God. How could he do that? Is it as a... My. Maybe it's not powered by Smashwords. The book has 8 chapters, all focused on how podcasts can help you become more successful in all aspects of your life. Without diving too much into each section, here are 2 high-level concepts the book discusses. Okay. Podcasting opens doors. That's the one concept. And reinvent yourself. God damn, this sounds good. Most of us have this little voice in our heads telling us who we are. It's based on decades of experience in our environment. The problem is that little voice is wrong. At least it can be wrong. For example, for most of my life, I've considered myself as a shy person. I didn't actually pursue conversations with strangers. I preferred to only talk to people I already knew well. When I started podcasting, that belief about myself began to change. I didn't have to be the shy person I thought I was on a podcast. I could be whoever I wanted to be. Well, that's true of the Dixon James podcast with this persona of mine, Scarborough Dude. Over time, that change in behavior also changed my thinking. I no longer see myself as someone who has to be shy and quiet. Simply by learning how to build a podcast, you as a person will change for the better. So there's a whole section on that. And the other section I just mentioned, opening doors, well, we know about that, right? Man, there's just a bit of absolutely everything. I should just give you links to the podcast. I'll just go to that page. What has he got here? The Podcaster's Life. You could Google that one. The most recent episodes, Dave Jackson, The School of Podcasting, Teaching and Helping Others. Steve Christensen, Scoop School, the Ice Cream Retailers Podcast, Teaching. Tom Darley, Big Daddy, The Big Daddy Roadshow. He's done a lot, this guy. He's out there. I'm surprised. Well, I guess he wouldn't come. He's Canadian-based. I don't know why we haven't seen him at PodCamp. Let's contact, just on the contact page. You have to send all the stuff in, you know. Doesn't give... Well, there's a mailing address. Port Perry. Easy Street, Port Perry. Oh, my God, there's even a map. Port Perry. I could go see this guy. It's not that far. Okay. Well, folks, that's it. I just felt... I was only going to give 1 minute and just say, hey, this is where this is from. But now I'm kind of glad I shared this with you. I don't know how Alexander will feel, but I felt it was only fair if I'm going to use his clip to at least refer back to where that clip came from, and I think we've covered that pretty thoroughly. Thank you, Alexander. Did I say Lauren? How could I forget his name already? I even spelled it for you, but you know, I mean, I'm just not good at names. Yeah, Alexander Lauren, Lauren. Okay, thank you. Bye for now. If I was to shut up, you'd probably hear some freezing rain. Hang on, I'll just hold it today. You'd hear that a little bit, I guess. It's the roof of the road trek. It's cold. I've got the engine running in the background. Now, I know this is probably not a good thing to do, leave your engine idling. But this vehicle is completely covered in a sheet of ice. It is April 15th, 2018, and we are in the middle of that freezing rain weather they warned us about. Church was canceled today. That's why I'm not in church now. And they're just, police just telling people, stay off the roads, like hundreds of little accidents, you know. And they don't have all the equipment out, streets aren't plowed. You know, everybody thought winter was over. It is technically spring. But, this has been nasty. And again, I love it. Hey, this is exciting. This is what it's like living on planet Earth in this particular part of the globe where we're situated. And, you get strange weather patterns, and very soon this will just be a hazy memory, and it will be spring, and the birds will be out, and the trees will be leafing and doing the stuff they do. But anyway, so much for the weather. Sunday, and I've just listened to, well, last night I listened to Anthony Marco, then this morning, while I lay on my bed with my cat on my knees, I listened to Jason Rees, and then just now, sitting in the road trek, I listened to Other Jason on the SGMR podcast, and all about the same topic, so there's no way I'm going to pass on doing a follow-up, and I hope, certainly in terms of my own podcast, this soon comes to an end, the particular theme topic that we're on now about white people and privilege. I guess that's what it boils down to. And whether, how much we should be doing or how much we should be aware of it. It'll just be tiresome for listeners, and everybody will be worn out. And I think probably the general consensus is, well, let's just go back to talking about other things and continuing to build, strengthen our friendships. Hopefully there's been no real harm done. I mean, things are being said back and forth, and it would appear certainly people are almost, I guess you'd call it choosing sides, and that's not a good thing for anybody. So, how to delve into it without sounding defensive. I don't feel that way now at all, actually. I feel vindicated, thanks for other people speaking up and realizing, gee, it's not just me. Anthony did say I was very thin-skinned, and that's very true. I'm a very insecure person, and still never figured out why or how to get over that. But it wasn't so much about that. I mean, I have strong views about lots of things, about religion, about politics, about morality, about God, about anything that I like to talk about in the Dixon Jeans podcast, and I want to be able to continue to do so, and I hope both Jasons will continue to do so in the free spirit, which is the joy of podcasting. Hey, this is me, I'm different from you, this is what I think, this is what I feel, this is what I have to say, and be able to do that unhindered without any worrying about getting dragged into something like as happens, you know, on the internet with when people start squabbling over something. So I'm going to come to maybe one point, and to me this is a critical, very, very important point. You may have heard at the beginning of this podcast, I probably used that little clip again, fucking white people whining. It's now very, very funny to me, so I'm including it because I still find it funny, and eventually, you know, it won't seem so funny, and I won't play it anymore, but for now, bear with me. I will use it in this podcast. I thought last night about this, and I realized something very important. It was a blanket, bam, out there statement. It was out of the blue. Anthony was doing what we all do, talking spontaneously, and we want to be able to continue doing that without having to prepare or think in advance or what are the repercussions of if I say this, who's going to think what. We don't want any of that. And I've said for a very long time, as Jason kindly has noted, I'll blurt things out and sometimes I will correct myself or find out later on, no, that's not what I feel or think, or, wow, I guess I was wrong there, and or maybe I'll feel strengthened. Yeah, I'm fucking right. I feel that way, you know. It's on a lot of issues. And I think that's the, as has always been for me, the therapeutic value of podcasting, not having to pre-plan and think ahead and line everything up in advance so that you don't make a mistake. That's a nightmare. There goes all the fun. It's like when comedians sometimes make a joke and it goes over the line and they end up paying for it. And I say, well, forgive them. Hey, what they're doing is very difficult. Now, Anthony said this statement in the middle of his drive, you know, and I guess I would say it's sort of out of context from whatever was in his mind, wherever it came from. We didn't know. It was just, I'm sick of fucking white people whining. And then it ended. There was nothing else to go with that. Well, hey, if I was just to say, fucking Chinese, and he's like, well, whoa, what's your problem? Like, what have you got, you know, hey, what's the matter with the Chinese? How can you say that? You know, if I had said that when I was driving through Pacific Mall trying to find a parking spot on a Saturday, which, believe me, is a nightmare. I will never do that again. I have done it in the past. I hate it. It's dangerous. And I'd blame it on fucking Chinese drivers driving me nuts. There's the context. I'm not talking about all Chinese. I'm not talking about Chinese people in China. I'm not talking about everybody. I'm not talking about my students. I'm talking about a particular situation. Chinese drivers looking for parking spots in a very busy mall. And people are not courteous and not polite, and it's very dangerous. And that's the kind of time when I would say, fucking Chinese, Jesus Christ. But really what I'm talking about is fucking Chinese drivers. Okay, that's my example. You know, and hold that against me if you want. I don't care. I'm not the only person who said that. In fact, I had a Japanese friend, and whenever he has an incident and trouble parking or something else, this is a while back, said, I just pretend I'm Chinese. But that's another story. Anyway, had Anthony gone on to say, fucking white people whining, I've just come from a meeting with my union officials, and two guys are going on and on about how they're afraid they're going to lose their jobs because of these immigrants coming in and taking their work, or not doing this the way we do it, or something. If there had been a context for that statement, and he was referring specifically to some white people whining, I never would have picked up on this. It would have been it, and it would have been passed, and it would have been over. But instead, it came out as a blanket statement again, and that had to be against all white people. And that's where all this stemmed from. So, I think that's it in a nutshell. In fact, I don't even know how much further I want to go on this point. I want Anthony. I know Anthony will listen to this. He's certainly not going to have a hissy fit and refuse to listen. So, Anthony, that's what I'm putting out to you. And to me, that would have made the world of difference, and I would not have had my back up. You would have had a very particular reason for just being annoyed at these people for whatever it was, but we didn't know who you were talking about. Clearly, somebody pissed you off that day, but you didn't tell us. It was just that blanket statement came out. Now, I'm going to bring up one more point, and I don't know quite how to work this in here, and it's to do with Bob. The other day, for whatever reason, I went back and started playing the episode of the one Bob and Anthony and I guess the Marshall McLuhan Variety Hour that Bob, Anthony, and it was also best episode ever, right? And Dave did together. And it was the episode Dave and Anthony had to do right after Bob died. And it was clearly they had a day, and then they realized they've got to come up. And I felt their pain listening to it. It brought back the rawness, because I remember so clearly that particular day when this storm of activity. This can't be true. This can't be real. No. And it was. We lost Bob. Well, the thing about Bob that everybody loved, and I bet you everybody listening to this, everybody who knew Bob, was that somehow Bob made everybody feel good, feel comfortable, feel like a friend, feel part of the community. It was part of the wonder, and I give credit to Mark for this as well, of the success of the PAB conferences, in that you're all welcome, you're all part of it, you're all here, you are all of value. Each and every one of you, welcome to this thing we're creating, we're doing. And it was a great feeling. It was inclusion, not exclusion. And I guess I wonder a little bit, like, what would Bob's reaction be to all of this? And actually, I can tell you, I'm not going to, but I know, and anybody who knows Bob, the French-Canadian side of Bob would be the one that would be reacting. The French-Canadian, the emotional Bob, who gets pissed off at things, would be the one who would be equally disturbed by blanket statements, you know, about white people and this whole business. So it's not that I'm not trying to put words into Bob's mouth. I bring Bob up because, as I say, I was listening to that podcast again for whatever reason. And I also thought that Bob would want harmony in this group, because that was kind of what Bob was about. Bob would care. Bob wouldn't want to get into it. You know. I don't think Bob would put out a single podcast just addressing this issue. But probably Bob would talk directly to Anthony and tell him what he thought about this. I find already I'm starting to filter myself. There's been a couple of sentences that I was going to say, and that little filter just came up and I didn't say it. And I've held back on two or three other points. And I don't know, that's unusual for the Dixon Janes podcast. But I guess it's because I don't want this to be of who wins and who loses, and I don't want it to be this side and that side. Maybe I'm trying to channel Bob here. I think Anthony has, if he hasn't got, I can't even say got the point, because he could just turn around and say, no, you guys didn't get the point. But I think Anthony can certainly by now realize that, well, a lot of people were disturbed. It wasn't just the Scarborough dude and his thin skin speaking up. But I didn't ask anybody else to speak up on my behalf or anybody else's. But I knew from behind the scenes that other people were just as disturbed. This is, you know, we're individuals. I said that on the last show and I'll say it now. And I do everything in my power to judge people as individuals, and there are some individuals I just don't fucking like and don't want to like and don't care if I don't like them. And there are other individuals who I really like and warm up to and want to be closer to. And that's normal. I mean, I think Anthony, maybe when he made his statement about the chairs, I mean, we always have biases, we always make choices. But as far as I know, I don't do that against entire races, colors, religions, and so on. Yes, I'm not fond of Islam, but I am equally disgusted. Well, no, I'm not disgusted by Islam. I'm disgusted by televangelists and their huge, very expensive churches in the United States who are calling up that God says for you to give me more money for our missions. I mean, that just makes me puke. So I have a lot of feelings about a lot of things, and if somebody wants to color them and say, well, I'm biased, or I'm narrow-minded, or I'm bigoted, or it's all coming from my whiteness, that's why I judge these things. I don't think that's true. I think that's unfair, but... Sorry. Maybe I've done enough on this point. If I think of something else that I should have said, it may come up later. But really, truthfully, as far as I'm concerned, I want to kind of put this behind us all and move on. And that isn't to say one side won and one side lost or anything like that. I think it's... made all of us think and question our values, our beliefs, our feelings. So perhaps some good has come out of all of that. I was able to, earlier on, when it just on my way actually just putting on my shoes and coming out here, I was able to somehow pull Greta and the judgment the United Church of Canada is making against, or a certain faction within this United Church of Canada, somehow that tied in beautifully to this whole story. And I can't find the connecting piece now, so maybe I'll get to that later. But we'll leave that for now. So I'm just going to turn it over, give you a song, and carry on warming up my poor vehicle on this miserably cold, nasty, freezing rain day. Like, the entire, every windshield is just ice, a sheet of ice. It's quite beautiful, but quite unusual. All right, for now, Scarborough Dude. Signing off.
In the dark we are without her embrace light. In the dark we are without her light. Half asleep we're calmly waiting through her night. Half asleep we wait till she arrives.
They think they won, but, you know, really the side of science still.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true whether you believe it or not.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. That's two voices there. And we're going to just fade them both out now. I'll let you know who they are. Of course, that was other Jason. And Steve from Halifax on the Illuminati Social Club, I believe. Yeah, listening to experts. Just thought I'd, you know, I like to bring in other voices, share a little. It is, what is it? Tuesday afternoon, 5:30. I'm in the parking lot of my local library. I'm just so taken with this library, so amazed, so impressed with all it has to offer. And it's just, it's modernization. You know, it's really like I was in a coma. And the last time I was in a library, it was the old-fashioned way, and then, you know, suddenly I'm coming out. Oh, no, you just scan it here and just put your book there, and when you check it in, just put it in that little slot. It'll go right into the books and print your receipt for you if you want. You don't even have to talk to anybody. Anyway, speaking of libraries, I dropped my son off to go to the bank, get some money, buy his supply of vapes. He's still vaping. He's not smoking cigarettes, and he's vaping, and that's better. But he was showing me he's on to a clear one. He's trying to get his way down to sort of zero nicotine to break the habit altogether, but that will take time. And I'm not hounding him. He's at the point now where he has to do things his way and on his own. And yeah. Anyway, while he was there, this is in a little mall near us. It was a new LCBO and a Shopper's Drug. Great little mall. The end of would it be Burnley? No, McCowan Road, I guess. McCowan and Kingston Road. There's a little library there in, you know, one of these shopping mall libraries. Very small. But I went in, and I thought, well, while I'm waiting, I'll just check it out. Now that I have a card, I'm becoming a library user. And sure enough, straight to the, you know, I like to see what's on display. And then straight to a section which happened to be a very small biography section. And the first book that jumps out at me, well, no, a few. Hillary Clinton jumped out at me, but the one that caught my eye is called In My Own Way, Autobiography of Alan Watts. Now, the reason I mention that is because, I guess within the past 2 weeks, I was at my favorite little bookshop, Great Escape Books, also on Kingston Road, west of Victoria Park, and I found this book. And I thought, ooh, I want to buy that for my collection. I've got a few Alan Watts, but I don't have, and I even have a biography of him, but his autobiography, oh yeah, I want that. And then just talked myself out of it, said, no, you really do have to cut back on buying books. So it was kind of funny that when I went into this place, just randomly, and then just randomly ambled over to the biography section, and just happened to get this one into my hand. And I like it because his father actually did a foreword to it. And then when I picked it up off the shelf, said, do I really want to read this? The section I randomly opened was Timothy Leary. And I thought, oh, yeah. Through all this, Timothy himself remained an essentially humorous, kindly, lovable, and, in some directions, intellectually brilliant person, and therefore it was utterly incongruous, however predictable, to become aware of the grim watchfulness of police in the background. Oh, yeah. So that's a very interesting section. The section is called The Soul Searchers, and he does Richard Alpert, who you know as Baba Ram Dass, and himself. Here's The Sound of Rain. Oh, just a wonderful find. The problem is, I kind of still want it to be part of my library. Like, the library is still solid. I would like to have this in my library. And if I read it, then, man, that would really be bad. If I actually read this and then went out and bought it anyway, knowing I'll never read it again, but it needed to be there, the material object, you know? So I'm struggling with that. But anyway, meanwhile, I think it's good that I borrowed it. And that's to go with the other book I picked up the other day. What was it called? I know I have a picture here somewhere. Very, very delighted with it. Called Arrival, The Story of Canadian Lit by Nick Mount, a professor. It's really interesting. It's sort of going from the 1950s, I'm only up to the 70s now, but really the history of all the writers we know, you know, your Margaret Atwood, Margaret Lawrence, and, you know, Mordecai Richler, and then the poets, Al Purdy, and all the others. Most of the poets I haven't really read, but Leonard Cohen in there too. And really wonderful little insightful stories about them. And on every second, third page, there's a picture, an image of the cover of a book, and then a little blurb underneath, and then a reading from 1 to 4 or 5 stars, whether you should really read this or whether it's, you know, if it's 2 stars, hey, it was important at its time, but it's just passé now. And I'm surprised. and how much I'm enjoying this. And, it, you know, they did a whole section on Toronto's Yorkville, and he'll tie it in with what's happening, you know, in movies and the music scene at the time, and who's hanging out with who, and who's a drunk, and who's, you know, having extramarital affairs. It's really, really interesting. The whole story of the publishing industry in Canada, I'm loving it. And what it did was cause me to go down. I'm still on the topic of books and libraries, folks. It caused me to go down into my basement library for two reasons. Number one, I wanted to look again at these old Mordecai Richler books I have. Cocksure, The Incomparable Atuk, a couple of others that are books that Mordecai Richler would not have wanted to have been republished. They were not good books, but they were his first and his earliest. And I have old paperback copies of them, and I just wanted to see them. Yeah, that's neat. Those might be worth something, you know, in a trade. Some people would like an old vintage copy, paperback, of these things. And while there, of course, then I found out, well, wait a minute, I should get my old Margaret Atwood books out here. I've got a couple that I can't remember reading. In fact, I probably didn't read. So that's been a thrill. And then another Mavis Gallant short stories. Oh, yeah, I want to read that. So it's just been exciting. I mean, it's exciting to have a big enough library that you can go in, find a certain... It's like a bookstore, really. My library is very much like a bookstore. Now, the other thing, I'm still on the subject of books. Come on. Stay with me. This business of my birthday coming up in a week and a half, birthday celebration at the hotel, the Eaton House. I'm up to 22 people saying they're coming now. I think it'll be, you know, I'm sure I can expect at least that. So I need extra books. So the other reason for going down to my library is, okay, what else is in here that I don't mind parting with, but that somebody might want? And I found a few more. And overall, it's a wonderful spread. If you look at it as a whole, it's quite representative of myself. Like, I put in some beat stuff. I put in some books on other languages. I put in some novels. I put in just a bit of everything that represents who I am, who I like, who I'm interested in. And just hopefully by the end of the evening, as people make their trades from the randomness of the book that they... You know, the number they pick, which is assigned to a book, and they start saying, well, I don't want that, but maybe, ooh, that looks interesting. And that's the whole idea behind this. Could be a complete flop, I don't care. It is really worth a try. That people might trade and go home with something they want and might remember me. Yeah, it was a book I gave them. They could throw it out, of course. They could give it to somebody else. They could re-gift it. All that is fine. But I know I'm getting rid of, I'm giving up, getting rid of. It's, these are not books that I don't want. That's my point. I'm actually choosing books that I think somebody else might want. None of them have been in my mind, and I pick it up and say, oh, Connie would want this one. Oh, this one's for Jennifer. I'm not thinking those ways. I'm hoping through the trades people will negotiate and find something more interesting to their taste, and there'll be a couple of people who just don't even want a fucking book, and that's fine too. Okay, so that's what's going on. All right, I don't have the bell. I'm in my wife's car. Bing, change of topic. Here we go. I saw my accountant last week. I posted a tweet, and at the end of it, after she had done my wife's, my son's, and my own personal income taxes due April 30th. I owe just over $15,000. Now, when she told me that, I was thinking, but there's been a mistake here. Something ain't right. I just paid, you know, a few thousand of my business. How come I owe, you know, me almost $12,000, my wife $3,000? Well, the reason my wife owes any money, she should be getting money back, a few thousand, except that she's a shareholder of my company, and my company paid for my road trek, which is now in my name, meaning I owe my company all the money that it used to buy the road trek, except that it was considered money going to me in the form of a dividend. and the dividends are taxable. So I had that. I had some pension money, back pension money that came in that was, there was no tax deducted. Plus, I was working last year and made money. So overall, I made a, on paper, a considerable sum of money last year with no taxes paid. So the $15,000 is money I actually owe the federal government. And I'm over it. I was shocked. Oh, my God, I don't even have that money. I have, my bank's empty. How can I be owing this amount of money? You say I made all that money, but I there's none of it here. I don't have it. But I have a road track sitting in my driveway that's paid for. That's one thing. And, you know, topped up my RSP. So I'm not rich, but I guess I was rich enough to owe the government a lot of money. So today, I went and saw my banker. Now, here's another thing that's nice. I have, because I have, all my life I've dealt business with the Royal Bank. I know they gouge and take your money away and everybody can hate banks, but I don't hate banks. I mean, hey, they're stable. They're not going to go belly under. They do have rules, which they follow. And I have a manager for my business account when I, you know, back in the days when I was exchanging yen and doing all that stuff, I needed one. But I'm more than that. I have a very nice manager for my personal account here in Scarborough, and I really like him. And so enough to know, like when I went in today, I knows, hey, your Ferrari's not on your shelf anymore. And turned out some kid picked it up, came in with the client, picked it up, smashed it on the floor and broke it. So anyway, I mean, I have a relationship with him. I trust him. I feel comfortable with him. And I can just go in and say, hey, here's the deal. I owe $15,000. What's the easiest way? I don't have the money to pay. And I have to pay by April 30th. What's the best deal? It was great. And he was prepared. I sent him the email yesterday. He said, come in tomorrow, 10 o'clock, and we'll sort this out. And, you know, he was on the phone with somebody else. What's the tax rate on this and so on? And you know, I guess I don't have to. It's not interesting, and it's probably too private for me to go into my personal finances. But there was a solution, which makes sense because I have an RRSP in America. If you don't know, that's a registered retirement savings plan for which you can put money aside and not have to pay tax on any of the earnings you make on it. But when you get to be the age of 71, you have to take money out of that, put it into another mutual fund or whatever, and cash in a certain amount every year. It's 4% is the number to supposedly to live on. And then up to, you know, as long as you keep your earnings too low, you won't have to, or your income low, you won't have to pay any tax. Anything past a certain amount, it's taxable again, but we can work this out. So he came up with a perfect solution. And instead of me waiting till I'm 71, I'll just cash in my RSPs at 70, turn them into RRIFs, Registered Retirement Income Funds, I think. Is that correct? Might be. Anyway, there was a way. And it was a relief. And I walked out feeling happy. You know, I mean, I've said before, money just stresses me. No, does it? No. I think I said the opposite. Money doesn't stress me. I don't worry about it too much. But I think underneath that, underneath all of this, I know I'm going to die long before my wife. She's 14 years younger than me, and she's healthy. Like, she'll eat vegetables and soup for breakfast while I'm, you know, looking around for toast and peanut butter and then this and that. And then I have late-night snacks. Anyway, clearly I'm going to be gone long before her. The issues I have, you know, she doesn't. And she's Japanese on top of that. Okay. So I don't want her to be poor. And I realize, and he keeps saying, well, listen, the house you're sitting in, man, you should be okay. So I left feeling good. Now, that's a funny twist, you know, from seeing the accountant and being told this news, you owe this man of money. Now, the thing is, I could have done it smarter. When I actually took the road trek, I could have taken half the money from the company and paid less tax and borrowed half at a very low rate because interest rates are low. And then, you know, spread it out over a couple of years. There are other ways that I could have done this thing. The problem was, as I told him, look, I had 24 hours to make a decision on that car. And I'm glad I have a decision. So, next topic. Bing! That's it for money. I got two new shirts. And they are what you would call plaid shirts, kind of working shirts, outdoor men's shirts. I'm calling them Sal shirts because I bought them for Sal. And no, not going to have Sal, not going to dress it up over the steering wheel or anything crazy like that. They're for me when I'm camping and traveling. And I've got shirts that are like this. And these are the ones I love because they got these, like, buttons. You know the snap buttons, like on cowboy shirts? They just snap. I love those. They're the little, like, pearl type. But, oh, they're nice. And they're on sale at Mark's Men's Warehouse. Now, this is owned by Canadian Tire, or the joint owners, or whatever. Very soon, in a matter of weeks, I'm going to be able to use my Canadian Tire points at Mark's. And I've got a lot. You know how I bought my bicycle with $300 in worth of Canadian Tire points and vacuums and stuff I need, and I just keep racking them up on this card? Well, that means next time I need a pair of blue jeans, I can just go in and buy them with my Canadian Tire points at Mark's. Isn't that great? Yeah. Anyway, two shirts on sale. One was like $10 and the other one was $28. I can't even tell the difference between them, but that's the way the pricing was. And they're just exactly the kind of things that are, they're comfortable when you're a little bit cool or at night you're sitting around the campfire. They're not things you wear on a daily. I will, because I like this kind of thing. They're not things I would, you could wear to, you can wear them to church. I probably will wear them to church, but they're not that kind of clothing. These are not dress clothing, all right? These are men's shirts. And I love them. I'm really happy about it. So that was my little bonus for today. I realize, yeah, by June, I'm probably going to make that Newfoundland trip. And therefore, I should be prepared, you know, whatever. Okay, I'm ending there. There's a whole other topic, another political topic, which is very interesting. This is about that bus crash in Saskatchewan where 16 white boys died, lost their life, and several others injured in the hospital. The bus was just demolished. These are hockey players all together, all good friends from different rural communities. And there is an outpouring of grief all across Canada. Yes, I agree. Too much grief, too much top news story. But that's what it was. And people started to GoFundMe, and the GoFundMe racked up, like, I think last count, $12 million or something. And it was only going to be about, you know, a few thousand to cover the funerals. And, wow. And all across the country, Canadians are putting hockey sticks out on their porch. They're wearing shirts, you know, hockey shirts to work. This is a huge thing. And one woman called Nora Loretto, I guess I'm going to go into it, eh? Sorry. Posted a comment. I don't have the exact quote here, but it was basically, well, that's wonderful. I understand their grief, but what if they were not white? Would we be getting this $12 million GoFundMe thing over a matter of days with the whole country being mourning and talking about this? You know, what about all the Native women, the missing or still gone that nobody's cried about? What about all the people living on the streets? You know, all the other things that go with a lefty that she put out. Now, some people, even on the left side, say, look, your timing was off. I argue if she wanted to make a point, this was the time to do it because it got national attention. Now, unfortunately, a lot of people started getting nasty and saying, you're going to be raped. I hope your children are hurt or die, you know, and you death sentence on you and so on. People react very, very poorly, overreacted to her comments. This is the thing I'm not really going to talk about. But I guess what I've noticed about it all is that things like this just polarize people. People just dig in one side or the other. Nobody really wants to discuss it, actually. There's just fucking right-wing people and these fucking racists are coming down on her because she dared to question this and raise an issue at a time and she had no sensitivity and what a, you know, she must be a, you know, left-wing lesbian or something or other, you know, this is just not right. And other people are sort of defending her. And how could these people give a death threat for freedom of speech and so on? And isn't there some truth in what she said? And all of that stuff. Jesus Christ, car backing right up into me. Whew, I'm in my wife's car. I'm always extra nervous. Anyway, I guess my only thing is, I think it's a thing. I'm open about this. I think it's kind of interesting. I think it's what she said was needed saying. Yeah, like how it's kind of interesting that there's such a reaction. But if it had been different, if it had been like, you know, you can't use it as somebody else, but what if it was a bunch of old black ladies coming from church? But that's the end of their lives. These kids are just getting started. So there's a tremendous sadness to all the lives. All the kids are touched. Nobody's doubting that. Nor was Nora doubting that. But she did raise the issue. There's just such this national outcry. And the news coverage is just way over the top. As if no news media wanted to be considered callous by not covering this story in its fullest. And every funeral is covered. Every name. Every photo. Every picture. But again, basically nothing for all these women murdered and missing and, you know, the horrors around. So, yeah, there is an element of racism in here and people, you know, thinking along certain lines. And so I'm just going to leave that there. I'm not talking about it, right? We're done. God, another 22-minute segment. All right, I got to go home. I have my wife's car, and I've, you know, she's been off 2 days with a cold. She's not very pleasant to be around when she's sick, believe me. All right, Scarborough Dude, signing out from the Cedar Bray Public Library. Oh, yeah, I am a big fan of public libraries now, and the system in Toronto is fabulous. All right, bye for now.
What? Oh, Jesus, I can hear the echoes of the world. I can hear the cold rain. It's cold out here, Dina. It's cold out here in the snow. Let's go. I'm gonna come back in. I gotta come back in. I got to come back in now. Come on, help me out. It's cold out here, Dina. Come on, open up the door, huh? No, open up the door. Open up the door, Dina. Come on, you dick. Oh, man. Oh, man. It's really cold out here. I want my clothes back. Dina! Open up the door, Dina! Open up the door! Come on! Yes! Oh, so much warmer in here. So much warmer. Oh, yes. Oh, God. Let me close the door here. You fucker! You fucker, what's the big idea? What's the big idea? You let me out there! Let me back in! Oh, let me put my shirt on. Let me put my shirt on. Oh, God. It's so fucking cold out there. It's so fucking cold out there. Let me put my shirt on. It's so cold. Oh, man.